Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Smart Firefighting Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Sofen, alongside Captain Kirk McKenzie. In this mini-series with the First Responder Tracking Challenge, also known as FIRST, hosted at the Indiana University Crisis Technology Innovation Lab in partnership with Resultant, R2 Network, Generator, and funded by NIST Public Safety Communication Research Division. This challenge is looking at 3D indoor tracking for first responders. Knowing the exact location within a structure of first responders during a search and rescue operation is vitally important to the safety. And here in this mini-series, we are capturing the voice of law enforcement, emergency medicine, and urban search and rescue professionals.
Thanks so much for having me on the show again, Kevin. And certainly, I'm looking forward to hearing from the veteran first responders, the operators in the field, and why it's important to know where their brother and sister first responders are. You'll hear stories and firsthand experience that'll help paint a picture on the challenge of getting that location, what to expect moving forward, and why it'll provide so much value. Most importantly, on how 3D location fits into an emerging, digitally enhanced, smart ecosystem for the public safety first response community and those they serve. Welcome, everybody. I'm Kirk McKenzie, and along with my friend and co-host Kevin Sofen of SmartFirefighting.com, really grateful to have Tom Sinan with us, police chief with years of experience that are going to be really relevant to the discussion on why is it important to track our personnel. And Chief, would you start by giving a little introduction to the audience, and then we'll get into the questions on the first challenge.
Sure. I'm Chief Tom Sinan. I'm with the Newtown Police Department. It's about 11 miles east of downtown Cincinnati. To give you some perspective, I've been a police officer for 29 years, chief for 17 years. Some of my background is I've done some undercover drug work. I was on a SWAT team, a regional SWAT team for 10 years, a team leader. And then I helped form the Hamilton County Addiction Response Coalition.
Thank you so much for the perspective, Chief. And really honored that you and I got to speak alongside each other at the U.S. Capitol a few years back at a FEMA disaster resiliency program. And certainly at the time, we were thinking, how do we keep track of our personnel, law enforcement, fire, EMS, initially just in a 2D layout, but now we're talking about 3D. Would you give us a little idea on where you think the value would be for knowing where your officers are on a working call?
Well, I'm thinking of a couple of different scenarios. One is that search and rescue are looking for a suspect. When you have multiple officers, multiple agencies coming in, it's often difficult for someone in the command staff to know where everyone's at, or you're relying on someone radioing in. But if you're outside or you're in the woods, it's hard to find a specific location. The second scenario, I'm going to go back to some of my SWAT experience. There's many times we would train or have actual searching of buildings, large buildings, and you're using an entire team to go through these buildings. Let's take a school, for example. That would be a significant advantage if we could track from the command post, having the ability to find out where everyone exactly is, instead of, again, relying on a map and someone to radio in and say, I'm near room number 100. If you could see it in a 3D perspective, that would be fantastic. It would make us much more efficient and much more effective.
Chief, I've heard a lot about the challenge that exists when we're just relying on push-to-talk radio and sort of saying, hey, I'm located at this room 201. There's a tree to my right. There's a building to my left. But in context, it's hard to really know exactly what that means. And you talked about this a little bit, but from, let's say, you're an incident commander or you're arriving on scene, like, what would you like to see and what would be valuable to you? And based on the tools that you have now, which are cell phones, certain tablets, like, how would you like to see or experience information of where your team is to be able to better understand the whereabouts of everyone so you can know where people are and you can also tell them where they need to be?
Yeah, well, it would be fantastic. And maybe this is the dream world. It'd be fantastic to be able to open up a laptop, have, let's say we're searching outside, to have the location and be able to see pinpoint spots of each officer and where they're deploying, real-time information on where they're at, not, again, to your point, not having to rely on the radio. I'll go back to my SWAT days again. A lot of times we were on a whiteboard and we were writing down a number of the officer, their identification number, and then we were listening to the radio trying to track where they were. We drew out the square. If it was a building or if we were outside, we kind of picked up a mat and we would put little dots by each time they called in, it'd be fantastic and save a lot of time and be a lot safer if we were able to look on a computer and be able to see where everyone is. And I know working with some companies in the private sector, there's already stuff on the market for autistic children or people with dementia. They can have something on their belt. And we've worked with real-time information where we can follow that tracking device and where that person's going. It'd be fantastic to have some of that same technology in the field for law enforcement to be able to keep track of where people are and better effective response.
Great discussion on the graphic user interface or UI UX, the opportunity to be on a tablet or smartphone. Some of the teams that were in the first phase already talking about augmented reality applications on their phone or tablets or in a heads up display. And all of the, and I'm going to get to the, I want you to imagine what's a greater picture in a full smart community, in a digitally enabled community. I want your perspective on that. The two things that come to mind, you've mentioned the SWAT, and I also know you have a deep background in the opiate crisis. And both those things, time is of the essence, right? If there's a violent threat or there is someone who needs an antidote to Narcan for an opiate crisis, getting their location quickly, just so critical. And so once these teams produce their solution to know where our folks are, where do you see that in a greater suite of solutions? What might be, what do you imagine?
Oh man, if I can be able to imagine, I imagine having my entire community mapped out, being able to open up a laptop, that building comes up in a 3D perspective. As we're deploying, I can track each officer from their response into the building, exact locations where they are in the building, be able to direct an entire team by looking at a laptop and seeing in real time. And then that allows me to figure out what resources are needed and where people are. And if something happens, to your point, I can get there quickly. And when you're talking about the opiate epidemic, I'm going to throw out the dream world. And that is, it'd be incredible to have a device that could recognize someone having an overdose, automatically trigger that response and direct the first responder right there, or someone with Narcan. I know there's some applications where if someone calls 911, if someone's close by on an app, they can go there. But wouldn't it be fantastic to have a device where you can recognize that overdose is happening? The resource can get there. We can get someone with naloxone, Narcan, and be able to revive them quicker and have a better chance of saving lives.
Also, so much in keeping with the challenge and the greater smart solution sets, one of the things that comes to mind, of course, privacy and security, and many people, and right, it should be encrypted, it should be secure only for the right people at the right time and be able to opt in or out on certain things. But if I want my location to be known, I'd like to be able to opt in. There's been a number of cases where in tragic events, people have texted their parents to say goodbye. What if we connected them to those on the other side of the wall that very much want to do what they can to save them because of our inalienable rights, freedoms, and privacies? The right to life itself is a requisite that I'm so grateful that you're doing such good work to keep your community safe. Kevin, I want to pass it back to you.
And Chief, when I think about disasters, a lot of times they're unpredictable. And especially when you're arriving on a scene, in Cincinnati, maybe there's some tornadoes and maybe just it's more extreme cold and weather that can cause disruption. But usually disasters usually mean uncertainty and things change based on what you thought the situation looked like and based on when you arrive and what it actually is. And I'd just be interested to hear from your perspective on past knowledge or past experiences where there was a time where you thought you knew what you were going into, and then it turned out to be completely different. And then that created inefficiencies or created challenges for you when you were in the field trying to best manage your team.
Well, as you all know, that's almost every call, isn't it? We're relying on people during an emergency to give us accurate information, and under especially high stress incidents, whether it's a natural disaster or shooting, some kind of medical emergency, we know under that stress, we don't always get the information correct. So what this would be able to do is, again, you're getting a better response. You're able to track people and you're able to direct them to right to where it's needed, makes it much more efficient. And in your example on a natural disaster, you're thinking about there's obstacles, there's trees down, there's wires down. And I was just thinking when we were discussing this, you're talking, if it's a big disaster like a tornado, there could be 30, 40 separate agencies. You literally could be looking at 50 to 100 responders coming to one location. How do you keep track of that? The way we do it now, like everyone else, is that whiteboard and we're writing it down. It'd be fantastic to be able to have the technology that, one, we could use drones to see real-time information, what are some of the hurdles, but be able to have those people automatically put into a map and be able to direct them and say, hey, don't go down this road here, there's wires down, let's redirect you over to this location, or here's a path that we can go to get you there quicker, let's save the life first, and then we can come back and work on the hurdle, or simultaneously send the responder through a safe path and then have someone else clearing out that path that, let's example, that the wires are down in the road, working on it that at the same time. I think it would make us much more productive and much more efficient if we were able to have that technology. I know it's kind of dream world, but hopefully one day this can happen.
Well, we've certainly been dreaming in the same, swimming in the same dream pool, I guess you might say, because the component parts are there. Like, we're going to make the best cuisine ever because we have all the smart ingredients smattered out before us. And some of the enterprise teams are doing quite a bit of good work. And there's some researchers moving into applied research that are starting to field solutions that will tell, right? We already get notification if there's a collision on the roadway in front of us and we want to take a different route. Well, what about in more advanced problems? What about notifying the citizens and, to avoid these areas, but also bringing the live feed of, democratized without private identifying information, but knowing what roads are open or closed in a fire, get that to the community, and then get it also to, don't reroute the first responders away from it. They need to route to it. They need to route the wrong way into the road that's closed to provide the help. My next thought to you is, as we start to field this, and you've worked at the Fed, up to the national level, at the highest level, how do we get the senior staff of public safety agencies, elected officials at the regional, state, and federal level, how do we prepare to start integrating these technologies that are starting to hit the streets already for civilian use? How do we get ready to bring them into our agencies?
I think it's the boots on the ground have to be able to go and talk about what we experienced. And when you talk about my experience in the opioid epidemic, that was firsthand knowledge. And I was able to take that firsthand knowledge to elected officials all the way to the national level and talk about my experiences and the hurdles that we faced. And that's the key, is if we can talk about the hurdles we're facing now, why would this technology remove some of those hurdles? What would be the benefit? And why would we want to invest in this? Why would we want to continue these programs? Why would we want to make sure that this comes to reality? Well, there's no better experience than the boots on the ground. And it's been my experience that when you're talking on the federal and national level, it's those boots on the ground that really get purred. It's bipartisan. There's no politicism in it. It is, here's real experience. This is my hurdle. This would help me get past it. This helps me protect lives, save lives, and do my job better. And that's what we need to do to get these things through.
Perfectly said. And especially because based on the average death rate, CDC death rate of 8 per 1,000, we lose about 7,500 U.S. citizens a day. And two-way voice, a phone number and land mobile radio, is being usurped. And thank goodness for the First Challenge team and Indiana University and NIST PSCR for running this, because knowing where our people are is going to make a difference. For if we can save one of those lives, you and I know from experience, that's a good day.
And Chief, building on this conversation about getting senior staff and elected officials and people like that on board with wanting to implement something new, what would you say to technologists or entrepreneurs that are trying to bring in something new, something that is maybe perceived to be disruptive, but really with the intent of helping first responders be better, faster, safer? And whilst all that sometimes sounds great, there of course are pre-existing SOPs, and there's a way things have been done in the past. And sometimes it's hard to change that. But I think we all know that just because we've done it in the past doesn't mean it's the way we should be doing it forward. What have you learned from your experience about something that's worked, about introducing something new and how we can use that to maybe drive some strategy moving forward to get some of these new technologies also implemented moving forward.
Well, I think if you're a technology company, and I have the privilege of having a lot of people come in and with products, and that's the key, is sit down with those boots on the ground, with the leadership, the chiefs, the local sheriffs, and get some input. Some of it, to your point, there's legalities that we have to overcome. I mean, think about drones. You were talking about, here's something that probably 10 years ago, we were talking about all the limitations of security, privacy, and now they've come through. And when you're talking about a technology group coming in and saying, I have this idea, how would it work? One of the things you have to do is, does it make my job more efficient? Does it save lives? Am I more effective? And then what is the cost? Am I able to keep the cost at a level that we're able to be able to make it productive and efficient? And if you can do those things, that makes it easier to get the local jurisdictions on board. And one of the things we said, like you guys were talking about, we found is there's protocols, there's laws, there's certain things we have to do. Overcome that hurdle first, and then let's figure out how we can make it effective. Is it cost savings? And then show me where it saves lives and makes my job easier or better, or my officers' jobs easier or better. And if we can do that, then that's really the way to get through.
Thanks, Chief, for that context. And I think the last thing that I'd like to hear from you, and this is just sort of open-ended, but do you have any challenge or insight or question that you want to ask the audience? And it could be really anything, but some sort of mic drop or just kind of a final, hey, I'm looking at you, listener. Any words of wisdom or final thoughts that you got?
I'm going to use this, man. I'm the police chief of a very small town. My voice was not something necessarily heard. Here's my advice to people is if you have something that can make the lives of someone better, speak up, be persistent, keep pushing through, find the right connections, find the right networks. And here's the thing, speak your truth, be open, be vulnerable about it, because it's really all about protecting and serving other people. And if you can do that, then no matter what program you're working on, initiative, technology, whatever it may be, if it's the right thing and it does good for people, then keep pushing it and keep trying. Like I said, I'm a chief of a small town. People didn't think I should be heard. I thought I should stay in my wheelhouse. I didn't do that. And fortunately, we were able to take a small initiative of a dozen people coming together at a table and then make a 350 people and 130 some organizations and start the Hamilton County Addiction Response Coalition, changing the way we view and deal with addiction. You guys have been doing similar things and projects. Whatever it is that makes the world better, do that. Keep pushing it.
Good advice, Chief. Thanks so much. There's the stay in your lane perspective. Thanks for getting in the fast lane and helping us out today on this interview. And
that's a good way to do it. Get out of your lane.
Or get in the fast lane. Thank you,
sir.
You go. Appreciate it, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this mini-series episode today. Make sure to check out thefirstchallenge.com for updates on the challenge and reach out with any questions.